The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 20th, 2025.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Ken Norton, and I am your host for today. I'm filling in for our regular host and my loving partner, Elaine B. Holtz. Good morning. Joining me on the phone today will be Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel. The theme of the show will be healing. Our regular host, Elaine, fell and fractured her tibia bone beneath her right knee on January 1st. So we have been on a spiritual journey since the beginning of the year. And since then, we're doing our best to keep our attitude positive. We will get more into that during our interview with Reverend Keel. I do have some announcements. Joe Wang, beloved husband of Nancy Wang, passed away last week. Joe and Nancy were the pillars of the Redwood Empire Chinese Association, and Nancy is the current president. It was through a $1 million donation from Joe Wang's parents that the Chinese Association was able to purchase their present building to house its community activities and keep Chinese culture and language alive in the North Bay. Our condolences to Nancy and her family. Ernesto Sanchez, beloved brother of Alicia Sanchez, who is the president of Radio KBBF. Ernesto passed away last week. He was a respected and loved elementary school teacher in Sonoma County. Condolences to Alicia and her family on Ernesto Sanchez's passing. John Turngren, beloved brother of Mary Norman, passed away on Friday. Mary has volunteered with translation services at KBBF and had a TV show with Community Media Center of Santa Rosa. Our condolences to Mary and her family. This is Martin Luther King's birthday. There were celebrations in Sonoma and Napa counties yesterday, and today there are community service events planned. In Petaluma, the Petaluma Bounty Farm is hosting a day of service from 10 to 1. There is more information at petalumabounty.org. In Santa Rosa, from 9 a.m. to noon, the Community Equity Foundation and Community Baptist Church is hosting a park cleanup day at MLK Park next to the Sonoma County Fairgrounds on Henley Street. A park improvement service from 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. is being held at the Andy Lopez Unity Park at 3399 Moreland Avenue, just southeast of Santa Rosa. Sonoma County Regional Parks Department is hosting this event. More information is found at sonomacounty.ca.gov/play/calendar. Well, here's some good news. President Joe Biden has officially stated that the Equal Rights Amendment has fulfilled all requirements to be included in the Constitution. But the news is mixed since he did not order the National Archivist to finally include the ERA in the Constitution. Apparently, this act of President Biden will be an influence when a court battle comes up regarding the ERA. So keep vigilant with that Equal Rights Amendment. This is a special announcement. Know your rights in case of immigration detention. There's a free presentation in synergy with the Catholic Charities and other nonprofit groups at the Episcopal Church of the Incarnation. Their address is 550 Mendocino Avenue in Santa Rosa. It's going to be on Wednesday, January 22nd, from 6 to 7:30 p.m. And there'll be another one on January 29th, I guess a week from Wednesday. Same time, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Last night, as I was visiting Elaine in the hospital, we had a visitor, and she is fearing for her family that they'll be deported. So this is a real danger that's going to be affecting members of our community. Well, as we do every week, we're going to be doing our History is Our Strength segment. On January 25th, 1890, Nellie Bly, journalist, completed her round-the-world trip in 72 days and 6 hours and 11 minutes and 14 seconds after setting sail east to prove that she could circle the globe in less than 80 days. 1890, whew. And then on January 19th, 1946, Dolly Parton, singer and songwriter, best known for country music, her most famous movie, 9 to 5, dealt with sexism in the workplace. For birthdays, on January 23rd, 1921, she passed away in 1994, Marija Gimbutas. She's an author who emigrated to Boston and began with Lithuanian beliefs, rituals, folklore, and ancient practices, and who wrote The Prehistory of Modern Europe in 1956 and The Civilization of the Goddess in 1994. On January 26, 1892, and passed away in 1926, Bessie Coleman. She was the first African-American woman in the world to fly a plane and earn an international pilot's license. Okay, well, as I said, this show is going to be a special show on healing. I've invited Patricia, Reverend Patricia Keel to come with us on the show, and she'll join us as after I finish a musical presentation. Let's take a break here. The song I'm going to be playing is called Angels Among Us, sung by Becky Hobbs. Elaine and I have experienced angelic spirits incarnating as family, friends, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff this month on our spiritual journey of bringing Elaine to a state of mobility again. So Elaine has picked the songs for this show. I'm going to be putting that on right now. Here we go.
I was walking home from school on a cold winter day. Took a shortcut through the woods and I lost my way. It was getting late and I was scared and alone. Then a kind old man took my hand and led me home. Mama couldn't see him, though he was standing there. But I knew in my heart he was the answer to my prayer. Oh. Sent down to us from somewhere up above, they come to you and me in our darkest hours to show us how to live, to show us how to live.
to teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. When life held troubled times and had me down on my knees, there's always been someone to come along and comfort me. A kind word from a stranger, to lend a helping hand, a phone call from a friend, just to say they understand. Now ain't it kind of funny, at the dark end of a road, someone lights the way with just a single ray of hope. Teach us how to give, to guide us with the light of love. They wear so many faces, show up in the strangest places, to grace us with their mercy.
Okay, well, we can use that guidance in the light of love, definitely. I'm going to be talking with Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel. She's been a Unity minister at Unity of Santa Rosa. And since 2021, Reverend Patricia has been coming on at the beginning of the year to help us have good thoughts as we go into the new year. Well, definitely this new year. The way Elaine and I started it, we got to not just look at something that happens to us that's painful. We got to look how this is furthering us on our spiritual journey. For you just joining in, I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of the station, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I am your host, Ken Norton. I'm sitting in for Elaine. She's listening to the show from her rehab facility bed, and she assigned me to do the show today, so that's what I'll be doing. I'm just going to be waiting for Patricia Keel to come back. Patricia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Ken.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me? We got you here. Great.
Yeah, I'm here.
So I may take some moments to I'd like to take some moments to share some things about you, Patricia. Is that possible?
Well, yeah, I think so.
Okay.
You know me.
Reverend Patricia Keel has a doctorate from the Reinvention of Work from Matthew Fox at Wisdom University.
Patricia has journeyed to India many times to study, and she is an advanced oneness trainer. Patricia is a spiritual coach for midlife women and currently serves as Minister of Unity of Santa Rosa. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Patricia?
No, other than I just am just good friends and companions with you and Elaine on the journey since we've met at Unity of Santa Rosa. I think many years ago, even before I became the part-time minister there. So it's a grace and a gift to be with you again today on the show, Ken. So thank you so much for asking me.
Oh, we'd be appreciated. I remember we had you on January 4th in 2021. It was a show about transforming stress, transforming yourself in times of stress. And boy, that week was a stressful week. That was the week of the insurrection at that time, as the outgoing president did not want to accept the will of the people in the vote. Now, today, we have an inauguration taking place of that same person. So it's kind of funny. But every year since then, Reverend Patricia has come and given us some ideas that help take us into the new year, to help it make the best year possible for us. Reverend Patricia, what moved you to enter the Unity Ministry, and why Unity?
Wow, great question. You know, I was in a very challenging time in my life, and a friend, I'd gone through a divorce, and I was dealing with addiction, and a friend invited me to go to a 12-step meeting. And at that meeting, while I was kind of a crazy person, just dealing with all the things in my life that I thought, you know, I could control, there was one woman who was there, and she was so calm. And she talked about how she was going to this Unity. It was a church, but it was more like a community experience than a church, I think. And I asked her to take me. So I went the first time. And, you know, this was many, many years ago. I think it was maybe 1990. And I used to sit in the back row and weep because I felt like I'd come home. Really, the message of the minister and the quiet time of meditation was so impactful for me. And ultimately, here I am, you know, a number of years later as a Unity minister. But I really found a path that helped me calm down the craziness that my mind was creating in my life and find a place of peace and also a community that I could really feel connected to. So that's kind of how I found Unity many, many moons ago. And I'm a champion of Unity right now, along with many other spiritual traditions, but Unity is a basis for me. How I live my life.
Now, Charles and Myrtle Fillmore are the founders of Unity. Tell us about Myrtle Fillmore and why her healing from tuberculosis was so foundational to Unity students.
You know, I think one of the reasons that I love Unity, and, you know, the program is called Women's Spaces. And I have to say, without Myrtle Fillmore, who was the wife of Charles. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore are known as the co-founders of Unity. And many people think of Charles as being the main person because he spoke and wrote. And so a lot of what we have is his writings and his teachings in the form of books. But Myrtle was really, she was the one who influenced Charles. And what happened for Myrtle was she was a very well-educated woman. She was born in, I think, like 1830s, maybe 1835. She was maybe 5 or 6 years older than Charles. She'd gone to Oberlin College, and she was a teacher. And in those days, you know, a lot of women didn't have a chance to have that kind of education. Anyway, she and Charles met, and part of what happened is they began to raise a family. She was diagnosed with tuberculosis. And in those days, that was literally a death sentence. You got tuberculosis, they just, you know, they put you away. And what happened was she and Charles went to a lecture by a New Thought teacher. His name was E.B. Weeks. And at this lecture, Myrtle got a seed, what I would say is like a seed thought a kernel of what she felt was really the truth of who she was. And what she came away with was this inner knowing, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. So rather than the collective energy that was rampant at the time, and still pretty rampant in our day, that would say, oh, you got this diagnosis, we're naming what's wrong with your body, and this is what's going to happen to you, you're going to die. She turned all that around, and she really, from a deep place of inner knowing, spoke and prayed to every cell of her body and talked to the body as if it were healthy. She talked to the body as the health of the body, the health of the liver. She loved her body. And every day, she would sit for 2 hours every day, and she would pray and talk to the health of her body, no longer calling it sick. And she healed herself of tuberculosis. She, I think it was in, like, maybe 1889. It was right before they actually started the whole movement of unity. She was completely free of tuberculosis after 2 years of doing this prayer. And as it was, she ended up, so she was in her 40s at that point in time. She ended up to live a very long, very productive life, writing many, many letters and helping Charles throughout the ministry. And she died at the age of 86. And 3 weeks before she passed away, she was in the office working. She simply went around to all her coworkers and she said, I think I can do my work better from the other side. And she wasn't sick. She went home, and 3 weeks later, she passed on. So it's an incredible story of healing and healing, and this energy of the feminine, the divine feminine, I believe, is really kind of the core that really spread unity as a movement and as a teaching.
So Charles Fillmore couldn't help but noticing what was happening to his wife, Myrtle.
Absolutely.
And so she was quite, her commitment to this seed thought, I am a child of God, and therefore I am whole.
Absolutely.
He took it, and he did all kinds of study in the scriptures and everything to find out where he could see verses that would collaborate with Myrtle's healing.
Absolutely. Well, and all her neighbors, I mean, everyone in the neighborhood knew that Myrtle had tuberculosis. She was really sick, and she had a couple of young children. So when she showed up whole and healthy, everybody was like, what's going on? What did you do? And that was the beginning of what became the Silent Unity Meditation Time. They used to sit in the silence every night at the same time. People would come to their home. And eventually that became a bigger movement. And now there's still a Silent Unity ministry that where 24 hours a day there's somebody praying at Unity Village in the Silent Unity Chapel. There's always prayer going on. And again, it's always praying to the health and vitality of who we are, to the wisdom, to the creativity, to the strength and power. So it's an uplifting movement of energy that connects people from all ways of life, all different belief systems, although it is based on the teachings of Jesus, but very much about how those teachings are not meant to be taken literally, but rather for us to understand, as you were saying, Ken, how do these teachings, how do these stories show up in my own life? How is this part of the journey of my soul into higher consciousness?
Well, I know in my experience with Elaine, and she fell on January 1st and broke her lower leg, that right away I said to her, we're on a spiritual journey. Don't just, I mean, notice the pain. We got to deal with it. We got to deal with your leg, but it's all part of a greater context, which is spiritual journey. Uh-huh. So she used that seed thought to her advantage. I mean, you've been also traveling to India back and forth. You like to combine the metaphysical teachings of the East and the West. What can you share with our listeners about healing that you learned from India?
Oh, you know, it's been very interesting to be part of the unity movement for as many years as I have. And also, I've been going to India since 2006, so that's been quite a while as well. A couple of things. I mean, there's so much in terms of the wisdom of the East. It's thousands of years of study of the spiritual life. You know, that in the tradition in the East, there's a physical body, but there's also what's known as the subtle body or the astral body. And they are as focused, anybody who's done any study of Ayurvedic medicine or any of the even yoga practices, you're aware of this understanding that the inner body, this subtle body, impacts the outer body. So in the tradition in India, some of the things that for me have been really outstanding, I think, first is the awareness of the power of the breath. And I think we don't, you know, now we live in a culture now where there's so much more awareness of the inner wisdom of the East and yoga. People are aware of brain technologies and the impact of the breath and on the body itself. But I think one of the things I really learned in my travels to India and then as a trainer for oneness over the years is how important it is for us to be conscious of our breathing and how those conscious breaths of taking the breath all the way down into the belly and being focusing on the breath, slowing down the exhalation of the breath, how this massively impacts not only our physical body, because it activates things like the vagus nerve, which is that vagrant nerve that connects to so many organs in the physical body, but it activates 72,000 little channels in the body called nadis, which run up and down the astral spine and connect with all the organs and tissues in the body. So becoming more and more aware and conscious of our breath, to me, has been a huge, huge gift. And again, not just from the point of view of health and the physical body. When I think of health in the physical body, I think of vitality. And breath can also be translated as prana in the body. But in addition to the vitality of the physical body, the breath can really help us to calm down the activity of the mind. And so in India, there's so many different practices. We learn about the different energy systems and the chakras, the wheels of the chakra, which incidentally are very connected to the teachings in unity from Charles Fillmore of the 12 powers, those locations in the body that he identifies as powerful locations, like the power of faith up there by the third eye. So we have this, the energies from the inner body activating the energy of the astral, the koshas, they're called these sheaths of the subtle body that they impact activity in various organs of our body, but they also impact the mind to be able to calm down the busyness of the mind. And that's been really powerful for me. One other thing that's been great, one of my teachers recently, and this they started this, Ken, during COVID, I was doing daily meditations with groups, and they came out with something called the Akam Health Practice. And one of the things they help us do is activate three of these subtle body energies. One is the prana, which is that vitality energy. The second is called ojas. And this ojas energy is the energy that helps our immunity. And the third is called Tejas, which is kind of the tissue-building intelligence of the body. And they had us do a breath practice that we would do for, I think, 48 times or 49 times that would activate these three qualities of breath. And then you would lie down and just relax into the body. And I have to say, it was such a healing, healing practice for us to do this. So that's been for me, you know, the whole toning into the breath has been a really big gift from India. One of probably thousands of gifts I've received.
Well, I remember January 4th, 2021, you shared a breathing practice with us and also combined with light going through our faith center, our chuk, our third eye, into the center of our head and then distributed where needed. I made use of that that following night. And I was able to heal myself of myoclonus, something, an anxiety disorder that I had been suffering for 19 years. And it's really handicapped me. I couldn't go around places. It was very disconcerting. And it was just a three-hour treatment following your technique. And I was healed of that myoclonus. It has not come back since 2021.
Thank you, God. Oh, that's so great.
So that's 5 years. So I can be a witness to these energies. And it's great to hear how they – I remember reading a book on Ayurveda by Vasant Lad, and he would talk about these different energies, about the prana, the ojas, and the kejas. So there's more to that's happening in our bodies and our world than, you know, a lot of our book wisdom has told us before. So it's good to have this current coming from India through you.
Yeah. Well, you know, even just a really simple thing, and I don't see this. I mean, to me, the practices that I've learned from India and the teachings from Unity, you know, Unity always talks about being a student. You're a Unity student. You've never quite mastered it. You're always in a place of curiosity and learning as you might apply a teaching to your own individual life. But one of the things, so I don't think of it as so much like religion. I'm not bound. You know, religio is about being bound to something. I'm not bound by what Unity tells me or by the things I've learned in India. But I think about it as a way of deepening a spiritual understanding, deepening an understanding of the inner world that literally shows up as the outer world in our life. And one thing that we can do that is such a simple thing is to put our palms together in what's called the Namaskar Mudra. You know, it's like you could call it a prayer position, but placing all your fingers and the palms of your hands together literally balances the right and left sides, hemispheres of the brain. And it causes us to calm down. And I think, you know, there's no coincidence that that's one of the ways that people pray. And you see, you know, I'm looking at a sculpture in my office here of the Buddha with the hands holding in this Namaskar position. But there's so many simple things we can do. We can put our hands in that posture and balance the brain. Just take a deep inhalation and bring in the air all the way down into the belly, and then slowly, slowly, slowly exhaling. It's that slow exhalation that shifts us out of the sympathetic nervous system into the parasympathetic nervous system. We move out of fight or flight and move into the rest, digest kind of system of the nervous system and the brain. So there's so many simple things we can do that I don't see as so much religious, but just kind of like daily practices. Slow down the breath, connect our fingers, connect our hands in that kind of simple posture. And it's a way of really honoring the presence of that which is within us, whether we call it the divine or the God nature or higher power that we all have within us. Myrtle knew that. I'm a child of God.
So you've taken the prayerful hands from just being a pious action.
Oh, yeah.
As something that actually has a physical working upon our body by balancing that right and left side of our brains.
Right. And then how that impacts any anxiety that we may be feeling.
And then together with a deep breath and the breathing, you know, we've got some tools here. They say breathing, the deep breaths, is one of the best anti-anxiety mechanisms that we have built into our own bodies.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember reading a book. I love to go to old bookstores, or bookstores that have old books. They don't have to be old bookstores. And look in the sections on spiritual growth or personal growth and find old textbooks from Indian teachers and old New Thought teachers and things. And I found this one book that was all about breath. And one of the things this particular teacher said, he had a whole chapter on mouth breathers. He was very much against people who are mouth breathers. And within the chapter, he's like, mothers, you must never let your children learn to be mouth breathers. Teach them early on. And I thought that was just an interesting thing. And I have noticed in my many trips to India that so much of the breath practice that we're being given is actually inviting us to breathe in and out through the nose. And I think part of it is because it pulls the energy all the way up to the third eye, which is going to activate all the chakras, you know, all the way up to the sixth chakra. Those nadis are going all the way up.
Oh, right, because you wouldn't be able to do that with just if it was just a breath through your mouth.
If you came to your throat, you'd be stopping at the fifth chakra, you know. So there's some wonderful practices that we do, and, you know, there's a practice called Chakra Dhyana, where Dhyana is basically a meditation, but it's a practice where you activate the different levels of energy in the chakras with a sound that vibrates the body, you know. So there's so many different ways that we can begin to integrate the inner subtle body, the astral body, and the outer body, the physical body. And those things impact not only our physicality, but they impact our emotional state, our mental state. So our thoughts and feelings are impacted by these things. That's why I think it's so important for us to integrate this into our everyday life, not just as a spiritual practice, but, you know, as a way to be mindful of who we are as human beings, body, mind, spirit.
Well, at this point, I'm going to take a musical break, Reverend Patricia.
Sounds awesome. Good.
The song I will be playing was chosen by Elaine. Let It Be, and it's not sung by the Beatles, it's sung by the Glee Club, this version. Elaine likes to have women's voices and to give them a chance to be heard.
And
she chose it because she especially likes talking about Mother Mary and the goddess. And she's been especially thinking of the goddess during this time of her healing. So when we come back, I will continue my conversation with Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel. So keep listening, and here's the song, Let It Be.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. Broken-hearted people living in the world agree.
Yes, let it be. The answers will come.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Ken Norton. I'm sitting in for our regular host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I am continuing my conversation with Reverend Dr. Patricia Keel. Reverend Patricia, are you there?
I am here. Let it be.
Let it be.
I think that's a good message for all of us today and every day to be, just be in the presence of the moment.
Well, I think that's one of the most important things, especially we learned from this fall of Elaine, how important it is to be conscious of what you're doing. You know, it's really conscious. I'm going to turn. I'm going to do this and that, especially for us older folks. Mm-hmm. I just heard from my mother. She's 98 years old. She fell in the strawberry bed. It's a raised bed. She fell into it and was stuck there. Fortunately, a neighbor heard her, and so she was able to free herself of that. But it's something that, you know, there seems to be a lot of falls. We had somebody in Unity Church, she fell, another person. So we've got to look at that, being conscious of now, and let the now, whatever is presenting to it, be as it is, and we adapt to that.
Absolutely, and just the idea of balance.
Yes.
Needing
Patricia, how have you dealt with personal healing challenges?
So, you know, I have to say probably the biggest healing challenges I've had have been dealing with either members of my family or people that I've been close to who have had physical healing challenges. You know, I haven't really had a lot of physical healing challenges. I had a car accident a year ago.
That was a terrible accident.
It was a bad accident, and it really upset me, you know, in terms of having a concussion and dealing with kind of that imbalance in the brain and then very much imbalance in the physical body. But, you know, when you ask that question of me, I think the piece that comes to me is just dealing with people that I love who've had really, really impactful healing issues. And I want to talk about this a little bit because I think it's important for us when we are, whether we're caregivers or whether it's someone in the family or somebody that we know in community. And for me, if I'm going to pray with somebody in our community who's had a challenge, it's so easy for us to get lost in the other side of health and vitality. You know, the world is going to talk to us about somebody's diagnosis. And a lot of times people's first reaction is to look up the symptoms, look up what you need to do, give people advice, to feel sadness because somebody's sick. And the thing that does is it brings more what I call like negative energy. The Buddha would call it second darts. You know, you have pain. That's the first dart. The second dart is when you feel bad about it. You know, you react to it in a way that causes more distress mentally, probably emotionally, to add on to a physical problem. So what I've learned is, through my own experience and my own family, is how important it is to see and know the divine presence, the light, the vitality, you know, the tejas, the ojas, the prana, that subtle body energy within the person who's dealing with a challenge. And just like Myrtle was able to feel, I am a child of God, therefore I do not inherit sickness. And she prayed in her own body to the health and vitality of her body. As somebody who is present to other people dealing with challenges, I need to see and know the divine within them. I need to claim that for them if I'm speaking to them, and I need to hold it in my own consciousness. In the same way, for my own healing, it's so easy for us to slip into talking about, oh, I'm out of balance, and realize that we're talking to the body, we're talking to the inner state when we claim those things that may feel like or even demonstrate right now that we're out of balance or things are not working. But there's another level internally that isn't out of balance. And it's that level that we need to constantly be reminding ourselves of. It's the I Am presence, the divine presence, the child of God presence that's whole and healthy despite what might show up in the physicality. And I know Elaine, I mean, maybe you could talk a little bit more about, you've been with Elaine since she's had this fall, but she's very much on top of knowing this is the truth of her being.
Well, you know, I attribute it to that seed thought that we came up with the day of the fall. It was spiritual journey. You know, Elaine likes to make poems out of a word using the letters of the word.
Mm.
And so she glommed onto journey. Journey, Ken. Find the words that start with J. So we went to Google and asked all the words speak with J. Well, you know, there's the English language only added the letter J in the 15th century to its alphabet.
Huh.
So there's less J words than there are other words. But we did find one J word that had promise, and that was jigsaw. So, okay, we're putting the pieces together. However, Winnie Lane, after she had her surgery, she was waited on and cared for by the hospital staff, the nurses, the doctors at Providence Memorial Hospital. 80% of the males and females' names began with J.
So love those synchronicities.
So with that seed thought on January 1st, the day of her fall, it attracted the universe to arrange things so that we would be reminded of journey, that we're on a spiritual journey. And one way that they reminded us was these people coming whose names began with J. John, Jana, Jackie. It put a smile on her face, but the best thing it did, it caused us to remember, and especially Elaine to remember, because she's the one that's reminded by the pain in her leg. She's reminded of that, but she then takes it to a higher level of that spiritual journey.
That's so fun. That's really great. Well, I've been getting some really great texts from her, and she just is so clear of who she is, you know. And it's interesting that we don't have that clarity sometimes when we're in our 30s and 40s and we're dealing with multiple situations of life and family and work and money and, you know, shifting bodies and things. And that for many of us, it takes later in life that we get the realization of the truth of who we are. But I just really enjoyed reading her messages and really feeling how much she has a deep, deep faith in the power.
Well, I really encourage our listeners to be aware of synchronicity in your life. Here's another example of spiritual reminders that we got. Elaine had a grandma, Rose, and she was thinking of her a couple days after the surgery. Grandma Rose had saved Elaine's life as a 4-year-old by pulling a fishbone out of her throat.
Mm.
So she associated Grandma Rose with healing. As she was thinking of Grandma Rose, in comes a nurse, and she introduces herself to Elaine and says, "Hi, I'm your nurse. My name is Rose."
Of course. I love it.
"But they call me at the hospital Grandma Rose."
Oh, my gosh.
"She has a daughter that works in the hospital, and it was assigned to Elaine for care. Her name was Jackie." Well, Jay, right? So we get these funny signs that put smiles on our face. The smile is because we know that we are a child of God. You can say it that way, that we are one with the universe.
Yeah. We're totally connected all the time. Yeah.
And we ask and receive. We ask for healing, and we expect the universe to respond with that.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I know we probably have to get off in a few minutes. I'm not really clear when that happens, but
the show ends at 56:30.
Okay, cool. So when you said to Elaine, you know, see this as a spiritual journey, what did you mean by that? You know, because there may be people who are listening who having a spiritual journey, what does that mean? Because they may not have they may not feel like they have a spiritual life. Yes, synchronicities are a piece of it. But what else is that for you, Ken? What did that mean for you?
Well, you know, we have physical journeys. I go from Santa Rosa to Petaluma or something, right? It's a physical journey. A spiritual journey is how I am progressing in myself to a place where I feel like I'm more attuned with who I truly am rather than what my parents said I would be or my school teachers would say I would be or my friends say that there's something inside me, that own inner voice inside me that's letting me know this is my path, what I have to take. So that's I guess how I would explain it, that there are more involved than just my, you know, physical vocation. There's a spiritual calling that I have, which I want to align everything else, including the physical, to that.
So part of what I got when you were saying that, I mean, it's about really finding a place of inner and outer authenticity and a sense of being just integral to the fullness of all your creative energies and what you love to do and what you're creative and able to do. But also what I got was the idea that on a journey, you know, they're either guideposts that tell us which direction to go in, or they're places where we stop and stay for a while. We take certain kinds of vehicles to go places. And it was just reminding me of, like, so a fall, what would a fall represent to you? Not Elaine's fall, just a fall in general. Play Charles Fillmore for me for a minute.
Well, for me, a fall means that it's something to get up from. It's something to rise from. It's an opportunity to rise. And in this case, in Elaine's case, it was her opportunity to actually get to a place where she's on her feet again. She can rise and stand up on that leg again. So, I brought the 23rd Psalm in for Elaine to read. I love that psalm. You know, the Lord is my shepherd. I love it because it takes you through all the different kinds of journeys we have in life. The very restful places, the deep, deep valley of the shadow of death. It talks about in one verse, you know. But it's you're guided out of that. My rod and thy staff, they guide you. And then even to the place where you're sitting at the table of your enemies, you know, with a full glass of wine. In fact, it's overflowing. There's so much abundance there. And we walk in the path, you know, constantly at the side of God or a higher power.
Yeah.
It's an up and down thing. It doesn't matter. You can be in a down place, but you're still in that guiding love force. You're not alone. You're being guided into the face of more wholeness.
Beautiful. Well, and the up and down places, like you were saying, a fall is a fall can be appears to be a down.
You know,
down,
I see the clock is running. Patricia, the clock is running. I just see I only have 10 seconds left. So I'm going to say goodbye to you. Thank you, Reverend Dr.
Thank
Patricia
so
Keough, for being a wonderful guest. You've been
Thank
listening
you,
to Women's Spaces. This is Ken Norton, your host, and we'll be back again. Remember, the children, whatever you do.
And a woman in your life, and a woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, January 20th, 2025.